This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Hey everyone, it's Cal Penn. I'm inviting you to join the best-sounding book club you've ever heard with my podcast, Hearsay, the Audible and iHeart audiobook club. Every episode, I nerd out with amazing guests and dive into the best new audiobooks available on Audible. It's the book club for your ears. Listen to Hearsay, the Audible and iHeart audiobook club on the iHeart Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Murphy, Sam, and Jody After the Show podcast. And Jody's about to do something I think is cool because I really love this about Jody. And I'm not saying that just because we're married. There are events that if you're asked to host them, generally speaking, they have a fundraising aspect to them, a nonprofit aspect. Yeah. There's some sort of a community benefit to what you're doing.
Right.
You've done it with vet schools. You've done it with shelters. You've done it in now you've got
breast
one that's basically
runs and races.
Right. And this one is going to be one of the community type awards, recognitions for somebody who's done great things in the community that
yes.
you've been asked to host.
Well, no, I've not been asked to host it, which is interesting.
I'm sorry. That's right. You're the keynote speaker. You're not actually.
Keynote speaker.
I know.
Oh, Lord.
So understand something. I'm trying to say yes when I'm asked to speak at places more and more often. Because of what happened at the Gracies where I did that speech where I got messed up and I got off track and I had to sort of improv in a most important night of my life. And I was upset with myself by the way it came out. Everybody was fine and it sounded fine, but it's not what I intended. I was upset with myself. So what do? You get back on the horse, whatever you try again. I do get asked to host things and MC things a lot. And, mostly when I can, I say yes, but it is something I want to improve on and get mm-hmm. better at. You know, people assume that you're going to be great in front of a crowd because we do this, you know, this show together, but it's not the same.
No, it's not because really
all.
This is in front of the three of us on most days.
This is actually an intimate setting.
Yeah,
and I did say this in front of a crowd recently. I'm more comfortable with you guys in here having these conversations and doing this show than I am in other places in my life. This is my comfort place. I'm very comfortable. I'm not necessarily in front of 500 people
and they're all staring at you.
They're all staring at you and you're at the podium and you're there to do a job and you bring the energy.
And you know, not every event has keynote speaking. You know, the events that are looking for MCs, what's interesting to me about that over the years of doing that, being a host to me is more challenging, stressful, prepping everything up front than keynote speaking. Because at least keynote speaking, you know where you're going to go, what your topic is, you'll go A to Z, and that's that.
Right.
MCing requires you being vigilant about what's happening across the room and adapting as you need and
you
making
have
sure
to adapt.
You stay on, you know, on course. And
the last thing I did hosted was I was the MC for an event, like an award ceremony, and there were a lot of tough names that I worked on getting correctly, and I didn't get them all right, and I apologized for it. It was lengthy. By the end of it, I thought I needed a cough drop. It was a lot of ground to cover.
But you did a great job.
I did fine. I was proud of myself afterward, and even they even said, we'll have you back next year because you finished earlier than we expected.
Yeah,
so that's interesting. Well, you know, and you take it seriously.
I do.
This is difficult almost to explain that when you're in an MC role, you're also cognizant about the time factor. Exactly. And, you know, you've got to keep the events running so that you're not keeping everybody there late.
You have to really read the room.
Right. And it's very easy to get lost in the middle of it as things are happening to start to, you know, lose track of time.
Yeah.
And so for the one that you're talking, I know that's not the one you're about to do the keynote for, but you actually wrapped up the one that you hosted recently in, what, 30 minutes ahead of time schedule? How much
about
ahead of schedule?
20 or 30 minutes earlier than they thought.
Right.
And they were like, we're going to have you back next year.
And it did not feel rushed. Every single, you know, recipient got their time and, you know, and their photos and all of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I got a call, a lady, her name is Kathy. She reached out to me and said, hey, can we talk? I want to, you know, I'm a part of this organization and I want to talk to you about an event that we have coming up. And I thought for sure, I said, yeah, I'll call you whenever. And we kept missing each other. And it was the other day and I went to take a walk. I put my earbuds on. I'm getting my exercise in. I thought, let me call Kathy. And I called her and we're walking. And I thought for sure I would have bet my life on the fact that she was going to ask me to MC it. Mm-hmm. You know, just move things along and be the host. And she's like, no, we have our MC. We want you to be the keynote. And I almost tripped. Now, I have spoken before at places where I'm the speaker. Mm-hmm. Long time ago, smaller groups or whatever.
Yeah.
This is going to be a few hundred people. It's formal. Ooh. And I'm the keynote.
Wow.
The good news is that I have, and it's to celebrate someone in the community.
Yeah.
Nominations are coming in. That person hasn't even been picked yet.
Right, exactly.
So I'm really excited to do it, you know, and I even thanked her for asking me. They're very excited. You guys are invited as well, but not to keynote. She even said we want a, you know, single keynote speaker and, you know, the guys can come with you, put them in their tuxes and we will have, they'll have dinner with us and whatnot, but we want you to keynote.
What is the, do you have a topic that you were given?
No, I even said that. Do you want to give me a topic or a direction? She said, no, we want you to do you. Tell us your stories. Tell us what you think.
That's in your wheelhouse. And, you know, yes. I would say for, you know, for anybody that gets put in that situation, or if you've ever doubted yourself and you're going to be speaking at an event, it actually is easier for you to speak about something authentically.
Yes.
If it's something that's meaningful to you and you're passionate about it, is you're still going to be a little bit nervous when you go up
at
there.
At first, yes.
But it's going to feel real. And the audience is going to connect with you because you're not just trying to read something from a script.
No.
You're not trying to create something that's really not connected to you. And Jody, I think that's one thing that you're really, you know, you're good at, is making sure that when you do these, any sort of keynote type speaking that you've done in the past, you choose something that comes from a very real place that you also think has a benefit to the audience.
I'm going to somehow find a way to connect it to whoever is being honored.
Yeah.
Because I will open the thing. As I understand it, I'm the first one. I'll keynote is usually first. And you set the tone. That means you set the tone. You're like entertainment almost. And so you set the pace. And I do have a lot of little stories. But once I find out who is actually being honored, I'm going to find out some things about them.
Sure.
So that the night bridges from me to the whoever's going to take over and host an MC, and then to that person that we're there to celebrate.
Yeah.
If you need any help with any jokes you want to drop in, let me know.
I don't know.
Want to find out who the person is and what you're kind of where you're going, maybe we can come up with one or two.
You sure? Okay. I mean,
You can always yell them from the crowd, Sam, if you want.
I can't be you, though. Yeah. I have to be me. So the jokes I usually make are very Jody.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I was really honored to be asked to be the keynote. There was a tiny little part of me inside my head going, don't say yes to this. Because when November rolls around, I've got until November. It's several months away. You know, it's going to be like, oh, I got to do this. But I want to get better at this. You know, you don't grow
that.
without a little discomfort,
yeah,
right?
I love that so much.
I want to get better at this.
I respect that so much.
Well, thank you. You're invited. You're invited too, Sam, if you want to come. But I'm going to tell you this. In the past, every other time I've ever spoken at anything, even the last one I hosted, the award ceremony, I read over everything. I said the names out loud. You know, I didn't really time it, but I read everything. I made sure that I knew every word. I've never practiced. Not really. I've never practiced what I was going to speak. I'm going to practice it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to roll in there being asked to do this and not practice it. They say, you know, even if I do it in front of the mirror or in front of our dog Champ, I'm going to run through it one or two times first. and then just show up and hope for the best.
Do you have a time limit?
Yeah. Well, I said, when she asked me, I said, are we talking like 10 minutes? And that's what I was hoping for. She goes, you can go 20. I'm like, I don't know if I can go 20. So we'll see. It usually goes faster than you think. You're up there for 5 minutes and you think it's been one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know that's a fact.
Yeah.
From having spoken before, but it's something I want to get better at. It is a, people assume that it's easy if you make it look easy, but it's not. You have to be prepared for that.
That's the case for anything.
Yes.
Anything that you see that's well done generally has been rehearsed on some level. Yeah. It's the same thing that we know about stand-up comics. They test their stuff out, and if it bombs in the clubs, they're not bringing it to the stage with them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Nate Bargatze does the same thing, right? I mean,
every stand-up comic,
you know, does that. Or, you know, even, and there are certainly gifted speakers. I always admire somebody that can just stand up and extemporaneously get up on, you know, stage and blend right in, because it's a very real thing. And I do think that practice makes you better at that over time. And
storytelling. There will be storytelling. I will probably open with a story. But I'm also going to try to do some of those things that you know that you're supposed to do. Tell them what you're going to tell them. Explain to them who you are right away, even if it's just with a story.
Yeah.
And a lot of them in the audience will already know of me.
Right.
You know how many times I've spoken at places and people came up to me afterward going, as soon as you started speaking, I knew who you are. Murphy, Sam, and Jody. Mm-hmm. Where are the guys? I've heard that before.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's smart, too, because there's always going to be, you know, a group that doesn't know it's their first time.
Sure.
And you're making sure that you're welcoming to somebody who's not,
I know,
not been there
before.
You've
got to kind of think about speaking to everyone. So, you know, I'm nervous.
You will do fine. You will do great. Rehearsing really does help with the muscle memory because you begin to get comfortable with the flow.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been a minute since I hosted anything solo. I think it was like a Hall of Fame ceremony for the high school that I went
to. Right. And you did great.
Well, thank you.
And we barely got you there because your car broke down, remember?
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right. That was crazy too, because that was nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But I had, you know, just worked through it and got to make sure, especially when you're getting to know in that setting, there are some of these inductees that you don't know. And so you really have to do your homework to, you know, to care and make it come off right. And, you know, I'm a self-admitted perfectionist. So I can't just have somebody hand me a script for people that I don't know about and sincerely induct them into a Hall of Fame without really knowing something, you know, about them.
Yeah.
You know, it's so weird about the, I had somebody ask me today, Jody, about how things went at the Gracies when you were, accepting your award as radio syndicated host of the year for 2025, even though I know the award ceremony was this year. I think it was for 2025,
It was for 2025.
And, you know, they, in that particular ceremony, there are a lot of people that want to use a teleprompter. And so that was required, and we've already done a podcast on this before where you talked about, you know,
that was hard for me.
Last minute, you got requested for the change, and then the teleprompter wasn't moving, and it throws you off. And
I had to go off script and just do it.
Yeah, and that's why where I think the muscle memory really comes in and kicks in, you know, just by rehearsing it until you're comfortable.
Yeah.
I always used to stress out because I would try to get everything verbatim exactly the way I wanted it delivered every single time.
Right.
And it's funny how you can go through it 20 times in your head and then it just flows. The flow takes you in a different direction.
Right.
But once I began to ease up and just trust the process.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's again, because even if when I was asked to do something and I didn't know who the people were that I was inducting, by the time I got to know them, I was comfortable enough to be authentic, I guess. Again, is the right word.
When you met them before you went up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then talking about them, you're not quite as nervous because, again, you're familiar versus being like wound up in a script.
Prepare as much as you can is the goal. And it's funny because you're offering jokes for me, Sam, but do people not ask you to host things?
No.
I'm surprised. You would be great.
I think the last thing I was asked to do was be a part of a Christmas play at church.
Did you do it?
I was a radio announcer.
Awesome.
And I had a script to go by, so.
And how did that go? And
it went great.
Did you throw in any side jokes?
Yeah, we had some problems hearing each other, and he had a wild-looking sweater on, and so while we were trying to kill time, ad lib between something going wrong, I started talking about his sweater.
Perfect. You know, see, that's your gift. That's your talent.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying,
I can't get in front of a group of people and talk.
That's not true. You can. You're really good.
If y'all are with me and it's the Murphy, Sam, and Jody thing, I can do that. But
I disagree.
On stage, if I can't see the people out there, I can do it. But I can't. I don't think I can get up and give like a 20-minute speech just on whatever.
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, you know, over the years together, we've done things from hosting stages and stuff like that. And I've always thought that I thought that was your wheelhouse.
Me too.
Let's
make sure we have Sam.
And there have been podcasts, I think, where you've addressed this before, that like in front of the crowd situation, you're even more comfortable. And look, I think
intimate.
You've changed over the years. I think, but there was a time where you were much more comfortable in a crowd setting than just one-on-one.
Yeah.
I think your comfort level has improved in the one-on-one area over the years also. But I hear what you're saying. But you've always been, I think, in front of a group. You know how to get a group excited about what's going on. You know how to focus on them. And it's interesting. It doesn't require you to necessarily be vulnerable, I guess, is the term.
It's like, if it's the group of us to do it, I've already got in my head that I'm here for comic relief.
Yeah, and you perform
If there's any cherry on top of it, I'll be able to contribute a few things that are important or takeaways.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm going in there with, I'm just waiting to throw in some punchlines or something.
Right. You're waiting for us to say something that triggers your ha ha.
Yeah. Now, we recently had a little video conference, a team call with somebody who interviewed us for an hour.
Yeah.
And I was nervous about that, believe it or not. Because
really?
Yeah. Because it's like, what am I going to add to this? And then as we got into it, I got comfortable with the guy.
Yeah.
And so I was
good.
Able to include good stuff, not just, hey.
but include some really good stuff.
Yeah, I think the comfort is everything. Once you kind of settle into the groove, and I think that's the case with anybody. And again, the reason I keep pointing this back out is because if you're listening to this podcast and you're faced with it, whether you're leading a meeting in front of 12 people at work,
correct,
or whether you're going to be doing something at a group party or whatever, it is possible to overcome. Like Jody said, you just do it.
Yeah.
But if you're prepped for it and eventually you know the drill, you know the people, the comfort part will kind of inch its way in. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have the adrenaline rush the whole time.
Right.
But you will begin to be able to roll with it. The vibe kind of takes it over for you.
In my experience, be prepared for it, but don't be rigid about it.
Yeah.
Be prepared for it, but be ready to bend and shift. If somebody says something that takes you off course, so be it. Welcome it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? You don't perform as well at anything if you're overthinking about it and you want it to be perfect.
Yeah,
you get in your own way.
If I am too prepared, I'm
right.
Useless.
Right.
What you just said, if somebody throws a question, I can handle that a lot better than I can. These are the 3 points we're going to make and
period.
Stick to it.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, I got to remember. What's number three again?
Be prepared, but be flexible.
Yeah.
That's my plan. But the reason this is a big deal for me, even talking about it, I'm like, I need to start jotting out my notes and my stories. It's because this is self-work. Because it would have been easier for me to say, no, thank you, I'm busy that weekend.
Yeah,
or something like that. Yeah. But it's, I want to get better at this. And so it's a little scary jumping off into the big pool of keynote as where it always used to be just host or MC. But I want to get better at it.
I think that you will do, well with that. And
we'll
the little
see.
Things, Sam, you just said something I think, would be beneficial for anybody to know that even if you have, 3 things that you wanted to cover, if you didn't state that from the beginning, the audience may not know that.
Yeah.
And
right.
So if number 3 goes away, it just goes away. We tend to get in our own heads about it and be more concerned about it.
Yeah.
Kind of like what happened with you with Gracie's, Jody.
Yes.
I mean, it's still, if you wind up just focusing and don't let that distract you and you just move on. Mm-hmm. And I would probably say, if 1, 2, and 3, and I'm sorry, guys, I just forgot number 3. And you kind of laugh it off.
So we get out of here early.
Yeah. Right. And the audience, I think
you did it.
Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. The audience, I think, is forgiving of that too.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody sitting in an audience expects perfection from a speaker, unless you've paid money to be there and it's a seminar and you're expecting some sort of takeaway that's of value to you. But if you're just attending an event that somebody is hosting, I think that, you know, as the person who's up on stage hosting, emceeing, or giving a keynote is far more hyper aware of what's going on in scrutinizing than any member of the audience.
Of course. Yeah.
And that's just something to kind of carry with you to let, you know, give yourself a break. It doesn't have to be perfect. You're not going to be, you know, it's everybody's not going to go, what is wrong with this guy?
No, you know? No, that never happens. I will leave you with this. Before the Gracies, and I will always remember it, what a gift it was that our youngest daughter, Phoebe, said something to me. Because I was saying, yeah, I'm nervous about the speech, but I have a teleprompter. You know, I was like, see you later. Love you. Can't wait. She was like, just remember something like this. I'm paraphrasing. She said, everybody in the room wants you to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God,
and
that's true.
I was like, thank you. You're right,
Phoebe. That's brilliant, actually.
Very brilliant. I remember thinking that night. After it was over, like, well, at least they wanted me to succeed. And everybody thinks it was, you know, right. It was good.
Right.
Missed any part of the show? Get it all on the Murphy, Sam & Jody podcast.
The wait is over. Live table games have arrived in New York City. Experience blackjack, baccarat, craps, and roulette 24/7 only at Resorts World New York City. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Standard message rates apply.
T-Mobile has the best plan on the best network. Just ask Kevin Bacon.
Today, business happens virtually everywhere. That's why you need Super Mobile from T-Mobile. The best plan on the best network. Letting you run your business from your phone like never before. In moments of high demand, T-Mobile's network adapts to put your business connection first.
Discover more at supermobile.com.
Best business plan based on combination of advanced network performance, coverage layers, and security features. Best network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data 1H 2025. Ookla trademarks used under license and rebranded with permission.